This week on the Push Wallows podcast, who has the best thighs? We talk about retention and should you be training the exact opposite of what you do now.
Three, two, one. Come have brunch with me, Dan.
Hey guys, welcome to the Push Pull Legs podcast for myself, Dan Meek.
And me, Tom Hall. What's going on, bro?
Yeah, well, good, mate. Just looking forward to a nice brunch I got coming up soon. So I've got some good ideas from Instagram, as you can imagine. Favourite Instagram influencer. We've had a little look at what he would do. So now I know what to do, mate.
Yeah, we're good. Avocado, maybe some nice sourdough toast. I don't know that.
Yogurt, granola, honey, some fruit. Oh,
just nutritious.
Maybe. Yes. Mate. Anyway, yes, we obviously are talking about our favourite influencer, Coach Conor Volkamp.
He's got his own segment.
He's got his own show, mate. This is all about him. Let's cut it to the chase. It's all about him. It's not about us anymore. This is not the Push for Legs podcast anymore.
It's the Coach Carnival Cam show.
We
should do like we if there was like the main show was Coach Carnival Cam, we could host the like after show, you know, like Bake Off Extra Slice or like after what is it, The Apprentice, like extra after dark, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then you just get kind of like a B-list host to like do it. And you're like, I'll take that job. It's all good. But he's almost at 50,000 followers.
He's grown, mate. He's bigger than us. Again, who am I? Who am I to say anything? Bigger than us.
Pretty sure you're going to bring him into your next event to talk about Instagram growth, no?
Mate, building your personal brand. He's there.
There we go.
We're doing it. Like exactly that. How to be an idiot on Instagram. He's prime for it. So
I really want like, the bread trail's too thick with me and you. I feel like just in case he stumbled over a podcast. I really want someone out there, Alex, you're definitely listening to this, or Clara, I know he's listening to this. I was like, can you go and see if his ManyChat works and just put in a DM? Is it just Carnivore or?
I think it's DM me Carnivore is in his profile.
DM Carnivore. DM like, Carnivore, please, yeah. Please do it. Or have we got like a dummy account that we can use? I just want to see what happens on his ManyChat or if it's just, you're convinced it's not like that won't be set up.
No. It'd be his mum.
Yeah.
Absolutely convinced of that.
Bless him. Anyway, what's going on with you?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good. You know, can't complain. It's starting to get a bit warmer out here now. So I'm going to rub it in too much, guys. Don't worry about it.
Starting to get warmer now. Here, thank you. Did you not see my Instagram story yesterday? I made the switch to shorts. So.
Oh, okay. Shorts weather again, is it?
Shorts weather. I mean, as you know, me and Dan have worked in football. That is all year round, really. But I've made the switch.
We're up to 35 here now. 35 roughly.
We got to about 15, 16. So it was good.
It's basically the same, isn't it?
So. Come back down at the weekend, back down to like 12, 11. But good.
Can't complain. Golf's still going on, obviously. Got a tournament soon, which will be fun. As I explained to Tom, got a 3-day 54-hole stroke play tournament, which is going to be hard. Very hard because, as we know, Tom, when we play together and we play regularly, it's hard playing that much golf.
We can do two in a row. Third one's always a bit like.
I feel like you get better when you play more rounds, and I get worse. And I think it's because I'm already play regularly, and you don't play as regularly. So it's like you start getting in the groove. You're like, this is good. Whereas I start going, oh my god, I'm fatigued. I'm fucked. I'm like,
Well, yeah, it's just all about, I learn about the grass, the grain, the climate, everything through there. And then I get into a little bit of a rhythm. Yeah, I'm there for a month. We'll just see what happens. So I'm going to trounce you. It's going to be at least, we'll play 31 days nonstop. Could you imagine?
Oh my God.
I've been in absolute tatters. I'd be like, this is too much golf.
It's like a charity thing.
I'd like to do that, longest day in golf. I would like to do it. You have to get around like, 4 rounds, I think, in one day. Would be in tatters. I would bring a physio with me to just like run me down. So,
you'd have to.
Yeah, you have to cart it, I think, as well. Would I cart it or would I like push trolley?
Go first out half 6, 4 hours, half 10. Then you go 11 till 3.
I don't think you'd make it around there because obviously the daylight over here is longer.
Yeah, you'd have to do Trump, so you could do three till it gets dark.
We could spin around seven. Spin around the par threes pretty quickly, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I just don't think that counts, does it? Par
threes. Just do the
same.
Don't
count in my book anyway. Don't count in my book, mate. But yeah, what's new with you, mate? What's new with you anyway? Anything crazy happened to you living in London? You had a phone nicked or bike nicked or anything?
No. I'm bidding for a bike currently. So hopefully by the end of this week, whenever this goes out, I may have purchased another bike. I'm not like a bike nerd. I just know the bike I've had for quite a while, and it's only cost me £1,000 when I bought it about 6-7 years ago.
That seems like a lot for a push bike, though.
Yeah, but apparently, like, that's not very much in the world of we know that, Dan. Like, we can't say anything about the accumulative value of our golf bags would be more than that, I would assume.
Yeah, that's valuable, though, isn't it? That's actually useful. Nothing about a bike brings you any joy.
So, of course, like, I've lowballed some people on their bikes with some insulting offers, if I'm honest. But I've got to start there, right? So I'm not haggling in person, so it's not as awkward. So I love the really polite email I got back from the Bianchi people. And they were like, yeah, well, unfortunately, they gave us a list of like things like, oh, well, there's free shipping. And then there's this. We've actually just reduced this bike. And I was like, okay. This price. I was like, this is my top end of my budget. Obviously lying, but I was just like, how can you do this? So yeah, we'll see. I really like those bikes. So if I don't get that one, then anybody's a bike nerd, I'm looking at a Bianchi and a Pinarello. Because I don't know.
They ones with two wheels, yeah.
All two wheels. Yeah.
That's what you need, mate. That's all you need. Two wheels.
I thought I found one that I really liked, but my bike friend, who I sent loads of stuff to, was like, no, don't get that one. I was like, looks nice. He was like, nah, you want to switch the discs like over. I was like, will I? I won't probably notice.
Switch discs. Yeah. It looks good. It's more about how it looks now.
Correct. Yeah. I want it to look nice. Like, if there's a bike that looks like shit, I don't want to ride it. I'd be like, that looks terrible. Yeah, so we'll see. That's right.
Yeah, I wish I could contribute to helping you, mate, but I know nothing about the brands at all.
I don't really know much about them either. I've done as much research as I possibly can to not bore my brain. So I feel like I'll buy one and then that'll be my bike for the next 10, 15 years. I'm like, that's cool. It's going to be there. We'll maintain that and done. So it's going to be a case of, it's like kind of buying your irons. I know Dan actually buys his irons every kind of 3-4 months. He's just burning through him, but yeah, it's fine.
Well, it's because my handicap moves so quickly downwards that I've always had to improve my irons.
When you
play, you've had yours a long time, haven't you?
So, 17 years. Like, you play 17 times a week, so.
I try, yeah.
Sorry, I'll message Laura. Tell her. Yeah.
Rain it in. Mate, unfortunately, that's just the way it is for me.
Nothing else has been happening in my world. Obviously, I paused taking on some online clients for a little bit. But you can, I think some people have taken my offer up in starting from April. So that's all fun and games, and Combine's getting a little rehash. So it will literally be a lock and load 12 months. But I'm going to kind of do little launches every like quarter instead now. Okay. But it'll be, if you're a coach, basically, probably going to be fucking perfect for you. If you don't want the added, cuddles, personalization,
the right word?
Of one-to-one coaching. But I'm just going to be like going through different phases each month because people, seem to be interested in what we do. But we're going to come on to that in terms of like Dan had an epiphany over his training or just watching somebody else's training. But
It wasn't an epiphany. It was kind of stuff we already know, right? It's just, I just repeat it. So
but we're going to start, Dan. Kind of binned off the Kit Kat cereal totally. Got rid of that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Not good.
Just awful. Not great. I feel like I've tried some. Oh, I went to a restaurant opening over the weekend. That was fun. That was good. Soft launch, correct. Everything was paid for, apart from the drinks. So we only got the cheapest bottles of wine, didn't we? but it was good. It was really nice. Called Lita. In Marylebone. That was fun. Had a nice big T-bone, didn't we, Daniel? Big shout. Oh,
can't go wrong with a T-bone.
Absolutely. So that was good. And I had some Guinnesses because it was St. Patrick's Day. But have you ever had a Guinness? You must have had a Guinness.
I have had a Guinness. I tried one. Not good.
It's good. It's great. So I also sent, this is one of the things, like, so I sent Dan a who has the best fries, which is obviously open to debate. But
I mean, the problem with that, of course, is they're all American, Tom, so I've only tried about
most
three
of the American. No, yeah. We can look at these, but then we can look at the like the English brands, and we can kind of have a little rank them. But also, Coach, I forced myself. Coach Carnival Campbell never know. Like,
we will never. He will never know.
We will never know. That's such a big like thing. Like, he won't be able to have. So, will he ever? Will he be able to have fried chicken?
No.
No, right? Because it's not
nothing, mate. You can't have anything.
I'm
literally
so sad 20%
beef
now.
Mince. 20% beef mince.
It's so sad, isn't it? Because does he use like spices? Like,
no, I've never seen him use anything like that.
I've seen he salts and peppers them, didn't he? Has he? I think he must season it.
He salts them, but he doesn't pepper them. He always salts them, not peppers them. Yeah.
Because, yeah, like 20% beef mince without like salt and pepper must be dreadful.
Oh, yeah, it was dreadful anyway. With salt and pepper, mate.
Do yourself a favor and put some stock in there as well when you're fucking cooking it, like to beef it up. Like, Jesus,
he's not doing it, is he?
Anyway, so who has the best fries? So we'll name every single one, and we'll name the ones that we've had. Oh, that's probably not a good idea because there's some I have no idea. So obviously McDonald's. So we've got McDonald's, In-N-Out, Arby's, Jack in the Box, Raising Cane's, A&W, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, White Castle, Carl's Jr., Hardee's, KFC, Smashburger, Five Guys, Shake Shack, Burger King. Checkers, Sonic, Church's, Culver's, Steak and Shake, Dairy Queen, Popeyes, Whataburger, and Taco Bell. We can add to the list. Honest Burger's a big one over here. They have slightly different fries.
What? Not had an Honest Burger.
You've never had an Honest Burger?
I have not, mate. No. No.
I find that very baffling. It would be like, if we were going to go get a burger, it's not somewhere I would take you as well, though.
That's the thing. That's probably why, you see. It's just not...
it's good.
Yeah, I've had... out of those, I mean, I've had, like... What have I had? KFC. I've had Smashburger. I've had Chick-fil-A. I've had Shake Shack. Five Guys. McDonald's. Obviously, Burger King. Chick-fil-A was the one with the famous sauce, isn't it, in America? I remember it. With the little waffle chips and the famous sauce. I mean, they were good, to be fair. But out of those, I think Five Guys.
Five Guys Cajun is still fantastic, isn't it?
For me, it's still the best. I prefer the original. But
you do the original, don't you? Yeah, I go Cajun fries. Everybody,
I don't like spice, do I?
No, you're just plain as fuck. You coach for Carnival Camp, just get on like a house on fire, to be fair. So
yeah, with the peanut oil. It's all about the peanut oil, man. I think as well, like, out of those, KFC are awful.
KFC would be, they're shit.
McDonald's have to be piping hot.
They
have to be.
Yeah, they're really bad when they get a little like lukewarm.
And Shake Shack is okay. Not a fan of the crinkle though.
The crinkles, What? Am I 8 years old? What the fuck? Like, I don't.
And then
really
Chick-fil-A, I remember being good just because of the sauce though. I feel like it was the sauce that was that. I don't think it's the particularly brilliant chip necessarily, but I quite like the little lattice shape. I think that's a good idea. But I think the one thing that they're missing out on there, Tom, is the old fish and chip shop chip. Because that's for
is
me.
I
still think
chip?
I still think that is, like, if you were going to say a quintessentially British chip, I think of that when I think of chips. Yeah. I still, because to me they're all. I know it's just best fries, and obviously fries, we're kind of like, they are fries. I get that, and chips are different. But I think chips are better than fries. I think those fish and chip shop chips, I would choose that over all of them, even the Five Guys ones.
And I would have three sauces on the side of that.
And I actually think as well, by the way, out of all of those chips, the Five Guys ones are the closest to that, which is probably why I like them.
So you've not had Taco Bell ones?
No, I haven't.
So they're a little bit chunky, flatter. They're a little bit more like that.
I don't think it's that. I think it's more so like that. They're a little bit like, they're not really crispy and crunchy. It's almost that, like, Five Guys are like that. Do you know what I mean? They're not, they're called, I don't know how to describe it, like, malleable. don't know the word. It's like they're a bit softer. Something about them. I don't know.
So
people know if they're listening, they know they've tried. They know. They
Honest
know.
Burger have good, got good fries. So they do like rosemary, like salted ones, and they're skin on.
That's such a
like
London
a bit
thing. That
darker. What such rosemary salted?
Rosemary yeah. salted, or like something special like that. Such a London.
Yeah,
thing.
It's like ooh. But Honest have gone like nuts in the amount of places they've got. But I do like based off site, they have like a special burger based off where they are. So it'll be like, this is the Paddington burger. And they have like a special thing, which is quite cool. I quite enjoy that. They're a good, honest burger.
I see what you've done there.
Yeah. But do yourself a favor. You have to order the bacon gravy there. That's the next level. If you, I really want a burger now. Fucking dieting.
Bacon gravy.
Yeah, you got bacon gravy, which is pretty fucking good. It is good. Like gravy, I would want some sweet curry sauce, of course, and then some ketchup. Okay. Those are the three sauces that I'm taking. Gravy is the one. Make
gravy
it into
is
a bit
the
poutine,
sauce.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Gravy is, I think gravy
is
gravy
a sauce,
for me.
Yeah.
No, that's the sauce. It's the sauce. Like I think with chips, I quite like it. I think I think so for me, it depends. I wouldn't have gravy with like McDonald's fries, for example, but McDonald's fries. Red hot, salted with some ketchup. I don't think you can go wrong. I just don't think you can go wrong with them. And then when you start moving towards the fish and chip shop chip, that's when I think you need gravy, bit of curry sauce, that kind of thing. And the Five Guys, for me, it's like, again, ketchup and mayo. You don't need the other sauces. It depends on the style of the chip and the fry. And I'm now really hungry as well, and I could do with some fries.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, literally, I'm just like... I've not eaten that much today. I think I can get away with it. I've also trained already.
I have, and that's the problem. And I have eaten quite a lot recently. My parents came to visit for the last sort of 10, 11 days. So, you know, it's like you just fucking eat out. It's like when you come, I just fucking eat out all the time. I just turn into a fat pig.
Well, to be fair, after like 2 days of eating out, we're pretty good. And we're like, can we make something at home? And like, can
yeah.
have
yeah.
Like, fuck it up. It's just like, rein this in. Because obviously, like, I wouldn't do it normally here. I'd be like, no, I'm just going to air fry some fucking chicken down. Is that all right? Yeah. Right. It's like not great, but all right, price done. So we're going to talk about, well, actually you put out a post about retention, which is something that we've talked about a lot, I guess, and it hit like you put that out as I was talking to one of my clients. Obviously I know one-to-one clients, I'm in a league of my own for fucking retention there, thank you. But yeah, and actually Paul Standell, like he retains a lot of people, doesn't he? But I'm sure we're like very similar with what we're talking about passionately in terms of how we operate, I'm assuming. But yeah, it's a case of like care. But online, probably since I started online coaching again, and it must have been 2 years pretty much since I started again, because my lad Sam, he messaged me, he's like, it's been 2 years. I was like, fuck. I was like, Jesus, you need another coach.
it's funny, like I've started noticing that I had the same thing. Someone checked in today and they were like nearly 2 years.
Yeah,
I made me realize it. That's how I know it's been 2 years since we've started doing more of the business style coaching, which again has fucking gone well quick. Seemed like yesterday. And I've had people, and I went through my Stripe not that long ago actually, and looked at on their active clients how many months they pay me, and the people at the top. It's obviously still a few fat loss people, but like, you know, you're looking at 20, 24 months in a row of people paying a decent chunk of money, like, you know, to get advice and support and help and stuff like that. And it just dawned on me and Mike, we were talking about this every day, and based on that video and with the YouTube video we did on it, got coaches signed up 10 people in a month. And then at the end of the month going, oh, I'm still on the same number of clients. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
How are you still only on 25 people? You've signed up 10. Well, I've had a few drop-offs and it weren't a good fit. And like, well, all of them? Like, how does that happen? Like, again, and then you go deeper into it and it's like, okay, cool. It's down to coaching. It's down to all the things you do. And I think sometimes it's frustrating for us to see it, but at the same time, it almost gives us like the ammunition we need to say, you need to fix your product. Like, you need to fix what you're doing. And like, there's the whole point of this is like a lot of business mentors, all the adverts you see and everything is about get your next 10 leads, get your next this, get your next clients through the door, get all these people. And I'm like, hold on a minute. Like, why are you bringing people into a system that's fucked up? Stop trying to get new leads into your system. It's pointless because they're going to go again. Fix your system. And look, there's no perfect system. I'm not sitting here like saying holier than thou and all that sort of stuff. Like, people will leave. Of course they will. Like, at some point, they will forget to their journey. They will only see it as a short-term thing, potentially. Like, not everyone's going to come in, but it can't be that me, Mike, and you, and something like Paul Stadhoven, are the only people that keep people that long. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like we're the anomaly. Like, no, it happens. I know it happens to a lot of people. It's not like, it just so happens that all your clients are all the ones that aren't the right fit. Really, though? Really? Because we don't get that. So you go, right, well, what's the problem? And don't get me wrong, got that at the start, at the very, very start, yeah, but we fix it very, very quickly and you realise what I've done wrong. Okay, cool, content's not been great, blah, blah, blah. And it's born about from this frustration of coaches going, oh, I need to get more leads in. Like, you just got 10 in a month. What more do you think you can do? Like, yeah. You can't do more than that. Like, that's, if we were at max.
Put that in perspective, yeah, I took on 8, like, this month, right? I was slightly, to be honest, I have a system, everybody's fine, but I was a little bit overwhelmed. I was like, I don't know. That's a fucking lot of people to like onboard within 2 weeks from my perspective, especially I don't know, there's a level of care or whatever, but everybody's getting like a 20, 30 minute, like 2 looms or whatever on technical 100%. Stuff. And I'm like everything through that. I'm like, that's a lot of workload up front straight away that I know I can't like sustain. And like, if you're getting that many, but I'm expecting all 8 of them to be here in the next fucking like 2, 3, 4, 5 months. It's like, because there's also, I guess it's something about on whatever sales call, obviously consult call, discovery call, whatever you want to fuck, the first call that you have with a person. I don't know if a lot of people talk about pace setting of like what they expect over the first month or what their the expectations are. Because I'm very upfront with my guys and I'm like, the most annoying week for them will be week 1 and probably week 2. It will be the shittest one that we'll ever have together because they have to learn, their training isn't great because they have to learn about stuff. There'll be new exercises. It will take them longer to train. 100%. The biggest complaint I have always, it will be like, oh, my session took really, really long. I'm like, I know this is the longest it's ever going to take. But we're talking about pace setting. It's like from then it's only going to get better. But we've got to get through these 2 weeks where it's a little bit more care. I'm going to speak to you a little bit more, but then it's like after that. But I'm very honest in the fact that nearly everybody's within 10, 15, 20%, it changes. But 80% of the people will do the same thing for the first month. They have to, because there has to be some sort of process. And it's about being like, no, we're not going to see anything real. And I need to assess you for a whole month. And then we're going to work on stuff for another month. And then we'll see where we're at. And if you leave, you want to leave. Cool. It's not for you. But let's think about let's build that block from like, all right, this is going to be a shit from here, but we're going to get better. And it's only going to get better. I don't know if that's the case.
I say the same thing to people. Yeah. Like, say exactly the same thing. I kind of say, oh, what are you expecting to happen? What do you need to happen or want to happen? I always use those words as well. Like, need. Yeah. What do you need to happen? Well, I need 10 clients in. Okay. Well, that's not going to happen in the first 3 months. Yeah. And I always say to them on the call, I say, look, I'm going to be the opposite of what all the other mentors are going to do. And I'm going to give you the worst case scenario. I'm going to be pessimistic. I'm going to say in 3 months, you might just make your money back on a monthly basis within 3 months. I said, you can take it or leave it. I said, but ultimately what happens after that is every 3 months after that, you then usually double the amount of clients you'll be able to bring on because with the speed at which you go from that. So let's say you take on 4 in the first 3 months. Okay, we'll take 8 in the next 3 months after that, 16 in 3 months after that. And all of a sudden you've got a thriving business. You've got 30 odd clients. You're happy, right? And it's that whole like compounding interest part of what we do. It's not just go out and get loads of clients for the door tomorrow. It's that work and effort. And I always do it that way because, again, I'm in a fortunate position where I've got a waiting list and I've got people that I want to work with who I want to think longer term. So I maybe wouldn't have done that as much a year ago as I do now. But I certainly lay out those expectations of like first 3 months is nailing your niche, nailing your messaging, figuring out your content, critiquing your content, finding your voice, finding what you're gonna do with your content, finding your personal branding. From there, you're then going to start to notice more people reaching out. Once you build these habits, build this stuff, it just becomes natural. Again, like you said about training. Well, yeah, same with content creation. It takes fucking ages when you first start because you know what the fuck you're doing anymore because you're not just posting a picture or a Canva post or this. Now think about what you're doing. But in 3 months' time, it's loads easier, loads quicker. You know your voice. You know what you're going to say. Yeah, that's when people start to come in through the door. And like all the results that you see are people who've been with us for a year, over 6 months. That's what you want, right? Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I've seen. Okay, cool. Well, that's what they did. Same thing. And sometimes I get up their spreadsheets and I go, look, first 3 months, they didn't fuck all. I said, but 12 months, look where they are. I said, that's what you're working towards. And it's exactly the same thing. And if it puts people off, great, brilliant. Like, that's exactly what I do it for. That's part of the reason I do that is because I get the question sometimes, oh, how realistically, like when I start seeing clients come in, I'm like, how the fuck could I ever know that question? The answer to that question. Like, how the fuck could I ever know? I couldn't tell you. Million. So there's definitely a huge part of that as well. And it's also the other thing I say to people is a little bit about, I imagine that you say something similar with the training side of things, but it's like, I'm not here just to get you clients through the door. Like, that's not, like, that's obviously a metric that you're interested in, and I get that. But at the same time, if you have a better functioning business, a better coaching practice, better retention, better social media, better understanding your niche, better understanding your personal branding, better understanding of your finances, your income, what you need to do with that, how you be financially free within 5, 10 years, and then what you plan to do with that, but you have the same number of clients after 6 months, why is that not a good thing? It's that whole concept of like, oh, I need those numbers. I'm like, if someone comes in, that's all they need and want, I'm like, I'm not the guy for you, because it's not the only thing we focus on. Same with the training stuff. It's like, if you just want to see this number increase, that's not necessarily going to happen, because I'm going to teach you about this stuff. I'm going to teach you why this stuff's important. I'm going to go through why these things are going to set you up for a better physique and a longer standing physique, stronger physique in the long term, rather than just improving that lift tomorrow.
One of the biggest things I'll say to nearly everyone on a call, right? So, and my whole ethos of, you got to train for something or train around something, even if you're not, I literally say to them, I was like, I want you to be 12 weeks away from anything. It's like, if you give me 12 weeks, we can like be like, cool, we will be able to record a HYROX time. We will be able to go and probably train for a marathon. We'll be able to do that. And it's like, okay, but I need to teach you a bunch of this stuff so you can, it's like I'll be happy if they were able to go train themselves for a week and didn't need me, because they're educated enough on how their session should flow and what intensity they need to move at and what they should be doing for their body, all that kind of stuff. So there is a case of, if I didn't care and I just needed to hit that number or like get that physique, I would just like give them that and then off they go. Like, I wouldn't talk around their program or talk around why you're doing, like, oh, Tom, why are we doing velocity based stuff? I'm like, hard, isn't it? No. All right. Well, I need you to move this because chances are, I know you play cricket and we need to increase, or you want to hit the golf ball further. The biggest key indicator is vertical jump height that we can do. So I need you to move to quickly, fast, and go. Stuff like that. It's like, okay, that's going to be like a kind of goal orientated kind of thing, but we're going to have like a multi-stage kind of thing to get there. Obviously, I was talking with, so recording a lot of stuff with Tom at the moment about physiotherapy and stuff like that, and we're applying to multi-stage rehab, and it's like phase one, like we have to get range of motion and dumbs down swelling and stuff like that. For us, that'd be like, cool, we have to either problem solve a little bit, probably get to the root cause and try and, I don't know, cut off the shit that you haven't got. Like, we're going to get rid of that. We're going to make this better. But nothing's really going to change. That injured person is not going to get better in that first like 2 months of like an ACL tear. Then we're going to try and increase range of motion. Cool. Right. You're going to have a little look at your social media. That's something to improve. You're going to get like a little bit more habit. You're going to be able to walk upstairs without pain, all that kind of stuff. And then we'll start doing the cool shit when you're flying. Like, and that's like a 6-phase thing from an ACL. Same fucking practice. It's like, you can apply that to business. And it'll be like all the way through. But yeah, that was it. It dawned on me in terms of the retention thing, because obviously you posted a YouTube about it as well, didn't you? I didn't watch it. I saw your Instagram thing. I have watched some of Dan's stuff. It's amazing. It's the best thing I've ever listened to or watched over 3 hours.
Keep saying that.
So it's fine. Actually, I had to watch a thing on CTAs. So I watched Dan's thing on CTAs. And then magic happened during those 2 weeks. It's all good.
There you go. 8 new clients on board. There you go. You see?
I know. I'm putting it all down to Dan. I did no work
whatsoever. It was all those CTAs. It was nothing to do with the content before that.
Nothing to do with
client work
like
before that.
How it delivered.
It was magic copy in the CTA. That's what it was. As always.
Yeah. It was never about like, I just managed to hopefully hone my message. Everybody knows hopefully what I talk about. They're like, yeah.
Load of shit. Yeah, usually.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it hit home on the retention stuff, because obviously it's something that both we talk about hard, and it's just like the probably biggest indicator of a decently healthy business is like, actually these people stick around and like are in our environment in our community for a while, right? So they want to stay there, so because they tend to enjoy it for whatever reason, I don't know. Because me and Luke used to talk about it massively. Once we got somebody into PT Collective, we didn't want them to leave. We're like, all right, they're gonna buy from you. If you bought from you once, they're gonna buy from you again, more than likely. And it's like, how do you keep them from buying from you? basically it's service and deliverables.
Yeah, and like we get people, I get people who leave like, you know, one-to-one coaching, but they then go, oh, I want to stay in the members group and they still pay the money. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, then it's not really me then, is it? I've not really kind of completely fucked up. It could be a financial thing. It could be that, you know, they need to take a break from things and, you know, salary and all. But like you said, it's the whole point of going, well, they're still there within the business. They're still paying that
I
money.
I have that
still,
100%.
You know,
I have a few guys that will jump on for one-to-one coaching during the off season, and during the on season, they go on to the combine. Because I'm like, cool, it's absolutely fine. Yeah, yeah, crack on. It's like, I can't give you the, always, it's, you're not going to be training as much, so you don't really need it. I'm like, then I need the level of care to like, when you're in off season, we're going to smash it. And I'm like, it's exactly what it's there for. Like, but he's like, yeah, cool. It's absolutely fine. Literally. It's absolutely fine. Cool. All right, you want to talk
works,
about
yeah.
bodybuilding. Well, in terms
yeah,
of training, cut, business,
I
now
just
training.
Noticed, I just noticed today I was in the gym and I wasn't
Whoa,
right
whoa, whoa,
today.
whoa, whoa, let's get, what, are you okay?
Yeah, I
What
know,
was going
right?
on? You clearly did
I
you
do
not have
what
a
I've
fight?
realized is I need to start taking pictures of me in the gym and posting more of the fact that I'm actually going, because people just don't believe me. Like, I go,
I don't believe
yeah,
you.
today I wasn't with Mike because he had
Oh,
no extra.
so there was no witnesses.
Yeah, no witnesses, no witnesses. Yeah, he had too much work to do. So I went this morning and I have headphones on. I was obviously people watching a little bit more than I would do normally. And it just dawned on me that there was this guy and he was wearing these like Air Jordans and they're like the golf version. I know they're the golf version because of the colorways on them and stuff like that. And he was like slightly overweight, not anything too crazy, but probably could have done with losing a few pounds, would have helped his golf swing for sure in terms of his like mobility and movement. And he was doing like really bad cable crossovers, you know, like the ones where your elbows are bent, you just push right across your body, and there's just nothing really going on other than a bit of ego work. And he's clearly seen a bodybuilder do it. And it just dawned on me that I was just like, if he did everything the exact opposite to what he thinks is right, he would. Move, he would move better, feel better, look better, form better, and for a lot longer as well. And it was just this whole thing around. I just sat there and I went, if most people did the exact opposite of what bodybuilders do, they'd be far better off. Like, but yeah, they're the people that people like copy in the gym that they watch. So I went through a list of stuff. So just, and again, we can add to this as we go, but like, I've added these four things, right? So bodybuilders do isolation movements, they do body part splits, they train pretty much every day. And they do really slow, like controlled movements. And I just think for most people, they should do the opposite of those things. Like they should focus maybe on power and strength and not just moving things slowly all the time. Like, yeah, there's a bit of, you know, I don't think it's as cut and dry as do one or the other, but if it was one
But
or the
it
other, I
could
would
be
definitely do it nearer foot,
it
nearer
could be
past.
as cut and dry. If I only had somebody and they would like literally just jump up or whatever, and they literally had like two things to do, I would just go strength and like speed, and that is it. They would do like body weight jumps on
And
sprinting and then lift heavy stuff.
the
See.
thing that, that changed my view on this as well was when you talked about the, you know, when you get older, the ability to catch yourself is power, is speed. Do you know what I mean? It's not about the absolute strength. It's about how quick you can, I suppose, rebalance your center of gravity if you're going to fall and things like that. And it was interesting. I remember when you talked about that. So like I went through that and I'm sure there's more we can add to it. I'm sure you could probably add to more, but you know, these people try and train like 6 days a week or every day. And I'm like, train three. Right? Don't do isolations or body part. Do full body. Do more legs than upper body as well. Most people, more, but most bodybuilders do more upper body, and it's like actually do more legs. You'll be again. You'll be stronger, faster, fitter, all those sorts of things for everyday stuff. Like you said, if you're 12 weeks away from something, and you're a bodybuilder, well, your legs are going to be fucked to do any sort of conditioning. Whereas if you train them for power, strength, speed, I would argue that you'll be better place to train for that. So I'm sure there's more we can add to it now. But yeah, I just looked at it and I was just like this. It's just so backwards because it's not sexy. It's not like what all the big guys in the gym do and all this sort of stuff. And it's just like in the gym that I go to, there's a lot of big guys in there who, you know, people will watch or copy and all that sort of stuff. Oh, and also I saw one of the funniest things I saw today in the gym, nearly posted about it on Instagram, but I thought people wouldn't believe me. There was a guy on an incline bench doing incline dumbbell curls. So he's lying back on a 45, maybe 30-degree angle with his arms down doing biceps curls while doing the little like kicker, kick, you know, like the flutters with his feet for his core off the edge of the bench. Oh my God,
Just
man.
being
It
time
was
efficient, mate.
fucking
Being time
hilarious.
efficient.
Yeah. You know, he was watching it and I was just like, something's gonna happen. And then he stopped doing the flutters, just held his feet because he said he couldn't do it anymore. But yeah, he was still doing these half curls. Oh my God. I was like, it's just stuff you see in a normal gym, man. Crazy, but yeah, it was just one of the, I was just sat there looking at it. I was like, yeah, like, and again, we all know, you know, people have different reasons for training and stuff. I'm just talking as a generality. Like, again, today I trained shock horror. I use machines. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. after saying about bodybuilders are shit.
I did a post about machines yesterday.
Did you? Saying how shit they are? Yeah, it's like I said, it's just, I think most PTs as well could learn from that in terms of training their clients. And we talk about it a lot, but it just dawned on me where I was like, there's this golfer just doing everything that wrong, essentially. And he could have just been an amateur golfer, but I also saw him doing some core exercises, which suggest he probably wants to improve his golf, you know, one of those.
Yeah.
One of those, you know,
like classic.
He literally had the strap around his shoulder and he was doing that one, you know, like where it's wrapped around his shoulder. I'm like, mate, just do some heavy squats. What the fuck are you doing? Like, seriously, what are you doing? So yeah, thoughts, Tom, on that? I know you agree with it, obviously, but like,
yeah, I agree with it. Like, most people do not need to train like bodybuilders, just because most people don't need to train like powerlifters. It's like, you're like, or strongman or whatever. They're probably better, but yeah, it's just like isolation movements are just. I did a post about isolating. Like, I did leg pressing and stuff. Yeah, and I was like, look, we do use like. Because there's a lot of sport performance coaches, and unfortunately in my world, the same, the angry S&C guys, who are just like, no machines and do this. It's not functional, or all this bullshit. And I think people would be like, oh shit, you put people on machines. I'm like, yeah, fuck. Yeah. If that's the best tool I have available, then yeah, fuck it. I'm going to go there. I do a lot of like single leg work. I do a lot of like two up, one down work on them. And if I want to blow them out, like, there's nothing better, right? It's so fucking safe. It's like, all right, cool. Yeah, you're going to go do fucking 20, 25 reps. Crack on. I know you're not going to get hurt. It's just going to feel like absolute arse. So I do a lot of stability work on machines and stuff. But yeah, body part splits, they shouldn't even be in fucking bodybuilding. That's the unfortunate thing. Like, upper, lower, that's okay. But even in bodybuilding, it's subpar. Obviously, to be assisted, training multiple times a day, cool, but they're still going to hit that same body part again in the next like probably 3 days. That's the point, because they need to hit it like kind of a little bit more often. So yeah, most people need to do full body. What were your other points? Can't remember now.
Just around like isolation movements, compounds, obviously, like just shit. Like
we want to do
compounds, and then obviously the training frequency. Obviously, they train every day because they do body part splits basically. Like, so they do it every day, and like, yeah, most people need rest and recovery. Like,
they'll need rests and probably not the classic bodybuilding fucking cardio of standing on a stepper or something like that. Or, oh, yeah, I'm getting my cardio in. It's like,
yeah.
Doesn't need to be. It's just like, I would rather, I realize this, people will hate this, but yeah, either go on a cross trainer or a assault bike and just chill there at your heart rate at 130. For half an hour, you will feel so much better. Do that twice a week instead of doing your other session. I guarantee you're going to recover better and be able to perform better in the sessions that you want to train for as well. So that's another big thing. You realize that if you're training 6 times a week, I can guarantee some of those sessions are going to be absolute garbage that you aren't going to be able to perform in. Therefore, you stagnate and you plateau because you're either underfueled and over-fatigued, more than likely, if you're really trying to push on a body part. And if we're able to back off and oxidize better by that zone two shit, then shock, the intention in that session is so much better. And then I'm able to have that ability to fucking go nuts when I need to. Like, I'm going to be able to, yeah, cool. I'm going to be able to jump right. I'm going to be able to perform when I need to, instead of like, oh no, I'm pretty like running at 60, 70% all the time. That's probably not a good thing, is it? I would tend to agree. And then yeah, like you said, the slow reps, right? That got on my week like last week, I think. Some prick. I think, I don't know if I had to bite my tongue because I didn't know if he was in your group. I feel like I followed him because he was in your like group or somebody worked with him. But then I looked on his followers and I don't think he is, but yeah, very annoying. Because he was like, everybody, no matter what the gym, should be doing like slow controlled reps. I was just like, why would you do that? If I want, what's your why? It's a big thing. I'm just like, but, and then obviously my thing is like nearly every single sport I can think of against an opponent, the action of moving quickly will enable you to beat your opponent, like whatever it be. Like every single thing, like there's not one sport where it requires you to move more slowly and controlled rather than explosive to beat your opponent. Football, cool. 5 yard pace, 5 yard sprint, we know is the biggest key indicator of being better than your opponent. That is literally like, yeah, that is the one. Golf, being able to have vertical jump height. We know that the biggest hitters all have the biggest vertical jump heights. And that correlates into basketball as well, vertical jump height. And you see, there was a good, really good thing on like basketballers playing golf as well. And there was like, all the best like ones that just got a big jump height and they're like, absolutely like quality. Is it Iverson or Everson? He like had a fucking ridiculous leap. Like Steph Curry has a ridiculous leap. All that kind of stuff. All really good golfers. All that correlates. Tennis. I'm going to say probably the ability to put on the brakes and then accelerate and stuff like that. Quite a big thing. Move quicker. All these kind of big sports. And you're just like, none of them have gone, we need to move slow the whole time.
Yeah.
For skill acquisition, cool. Like to break something down. But you very quickly earn the right to start moving things quickly. But do it. Like, yeah. It was because that's what my post was about on the leg press stuff. I was doing single leg presses. And it was a slowdown, but I was moving that thing as fucking hard and fast as I could as went through the concentric phase. I've got no question about doing that eccentrically as well. It's absolutely fine because then you're learning to break. But yeah, that was more my annoyance of bodybuilders or like all those guys tend to try and move really slowly, like always through eccentric phasing. And it's just like, not always needed. Not always needed. I bet bodybuilders, when they go and play football, or they have like something, some decelerative sport, they can't hack it because that doesn't exist. Because they don't come with no tension to a massive amount of tension very quickly rather than a constant buildup of tension. Very different thing. Don't you think, Dan?
Yeah. Yes, mate. Yeah, I think it's, like I say, it's just important people, trainers, to fucking realize it rather than just, oh yeah, everyone needs to do this. Why? Ask why. I think not enough trainers asking why. Like, see why.
Yeah.
Why
am I doing this?
Why is that happening? Why do I think that? Why do I say that? Well, come with a rationale and argument, and then you'll be all right.
It's okay, to move slowly. Like,
why do we have to just eat 20% beef mince? Why? Well, because it's good for you guys, right? It's good for you guys. It's the only thing you're allowed to eat.
I would hate my life if that was the case. What are the worst gym day? Coach Carnivore Cam's diet followed by like an adult day?
I think it's got to be a training session with Eddie Abu followed by Coach Carnivore Cam's post-workout meal.
Good. This is, yeah. Should we?
And,
we
and
should
his
start...
shower with his fucking beef tallow fucking soap.
Fucking tallow. If we did a different series of like our worst gym day. Oh, could you imagine? We could get everybody, all the guests on,
everyone back on again.
And we did, we can do our hell gym day. Like, what would be the worst thing that you could do? I feel like I want to do one of those shows. I'll look who was our most listened to. It'll be fucking Mike. I'm not bringing Mike back on.
yeah, don't bring him back on. Yeah,
bring
don't
like
do that.
Paul. Bring Paul back on. He'd have an interesting, at least he, Mike would be like, oh, I'll go to the other gym around the corner. It's a bit further away. That'd be hell for me.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
oh my God, that's hell. Like it's further away.
Yeah. That'd be the worst gym day. Jesus.
That'd be quite fun.
Yeah. Anybody wants to come on and do that? Let's do it. I feel like we'd have to do our own ones. Fuck it. Yeah, we can do our own ones. We can do our worst gym days over the next month in our own sessions. Wonderful, Dan. We'll call it there as we've run to our tight 43 that we always keep to.
Where's your timer gone, mate?
It's on my watch.
You not
broke.
Got the...
it's
broke. Okay, yeah. Brilliant. Sorry,
man. It goes off randomly, but yeah, and also I can't bother to change the batteries, so I'm never been it. Do you want one? Anybody would like a Stephen Bartlett-esque timer or whatever it is? I hate that, and I was just like, it'd be really good. And I was like, it's not like that as well. Like, if I was to set it, I don't work like that in like, I'm really good. I'm going to work in short little bursts. I'm like, no, if I get into something, I'm going to fucking stay there for like 2 hours. Like,
yeah. If you need something doing, it gets done. Simple.
Yeah. I'm just like, all right, but this needs to be in there now. So I've got to run then and then. Let's go. More the motivation for me is getting started. Once I'm in it, I'm great. But it's the lag of fucking doing it. That's probably more the thing. And then when it's realizing that people pay money for the service, you're like, all right, I probably should do this.
Yeah,
any other business, Daniel?
Not for me, mate. No, all good. We'll look forward to speaking to you next week.
Nothing from me other than, yeah, you can jump in if you want to start April, Booker, whatever that call is. Just, what do you call them?
Consultation call.
Consultation call. There you go. I just hear lots
discovery
of like,
call.
Discovery call. Call. I'm going to discover.
Let's discover about you. No, it's a sales call. Call it. It's a sales call, consultation, inquiry. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Success call. Discovery call. What am I?
Yeah, so you can book in, reserve your spot for basically at some point. And yeah, Combine's getting a rehash. So look out for that over the next month, because that's going to be exciting, isn't it? So I might talk about it on my Instagram relentlessly until everybody gets really annoyed about it.
Might be worth doing. Might be worth doing that. Just thinking, might be.
Don't know. You might get that message on here throughout April. Don't know. Is that what's written on my thing? Yes, it is. That's fine. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We will catch you next week.